says, and the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while, for there were many coming and going. And I love this verse, and it's a reminder to us when we think, man, we've been so busy. It says, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. That's how busy they were. That is busy, if you're not aware. Man, we didn't have time to take a lunch break, and that's because you're busy. And so they had no leisure so much as to eat. It says, and they departed into a desert place, and desert place by ship privately. I mean, they didn't tell anybody. I mean, this was the weekend getaway that nobody knew about, right? And they were going to be with Jesus. So, I mean, they were going to be in church, obviously. Praise the Lord. It's in the subtext. All right, verse 33. And the people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of all the cities, out went them, and came together unto him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people, and was moved with compassion on them, because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And the disciples said, this is fantastic. No, verse 35 says, and when the day was now far spent, this day of leisure, where we were supposed to get away and have a little time off, his disciples came unto him. I mean, they're really wise. They're very educated, sharp guys. And they begin to instruct Jesus now. This is a desert place. And now the time is far past. Send them away that we may go into the country round about and into the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. And he answered and said unto them, give ye them to eat. And they say unto him, shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat? He saith unto them, how many loaves have ye? And I like this right here, because here they are telling Jesus they don't have enough. And then his response is, how many do you have? And I can just see that, I mean, in my mind's eye, maybe I'm trying not to read into this so much, but as he says, as they just informed him, we don't have enough. And then he says, how much do you have? They're standing there looking at each other like, how many do we have? Because we don't know, because his next statement is, go and see. So they're real men here, amen? Very manly, that they don't even know what they're talking about, right? Amen. It's okay to say amen there. Christ says, go and see. And when they knew, they say, 5 and 2 fishes. And he commanded them to make all sit down by company upon the green grass. And they sat down in ranks by hundreds and fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and 2 fishes and looked up to heaven, he blessed and brake the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the 2 fishes divided he among them all. And they all did eat and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of fragments and of fishes. And they did eat of the loaves. They that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. I want to just talk to you this evening about God's plans not always matching up with our plans. And sometimes our plans are 180 degrees away from what God's plans are. And I'm telling you, God's plans are always the right plans. And we need to make sure we're following after his plan. So let's pray, and we'll just talk through this text a little bit. Dear God, we thank you so much for your love, and just thank you for the story. I think we're thankful that we can look at the disciples here in the Bible, that we can see that they were humans, Lord, and that they had, Lord, times when they grew weary, and they had times when they desired to rest, and they also had times where their thinking was much different than your thinking. And certainly, God, we can very much relate to where we think one thing, and Lord, you are doing another. And God, I pray that you just help us, that we would be willing to submit ourselves and Lord, to be reminded that God, in all circumstances, you can more than meet our need. We thank you for your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In our text today, I hope to impress upon you how important it is that we follow in our life of obedience to the will of God, and that many times I'd never tell God what to do. Many times we do somewhat dictate to God what we're willing to do and what we think would be best, and we must be very careful in those times. God has a plan, and He wants to use me, and He wants to use you to fulfill His will. And at times when we come to a place where our will doesn't quite match up with His will, or we think, man, we thought God was going to do one thing and another thing is taking place, I'm telling you, the right thing to do is, just as that song we heard, was to bow the knee and to trust the heart of God, and that He'll be able to fulfill and bring to pass His will, and we must submit ourselves to it. And the disciples are in the midst of doing the will of God, and they were busy and they were fatigued, and they had been out and busy doing exactly what God had told them to do. And verse number 30, they're excited to come back and to report and to just give that full disclosure. Man, this is what we, they told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. It's just exciting to sometimes just hear the testimonies. And you can imagine just great testimony service that was taking place as they were just disclosing all that God had been doing with them and by them and through them. And in all the things that they were doing, the leisure time was just not there. The time to just rest, the time to stop, and the time to be at ease was not part of what they were doing. And Christ, recognizing that which they were doing was causing them to feel fatigued, and that which they were doing was definitely work. And I think it's important that we'd understand, if we are ministering correctly, it's going to be work. It's going to be work. God didn't call us to be lazy Christians. He called us to be good stewards of the time that He has given. And a good steward is not going to be one that is lazy. A good steward is going to be one that is going to fill his time. And a good steward is going to be one that is going to make sure that he is going to redeem the time that he does have. And he is going to learn how to work. And certainly these men would not have been unfamiliar with the concept of work. Christ didn't look around for men who were doing nothing and saying, hey, since you got nothing going on in your life and since you got nothing to do, I want you to come and follow me. No, Christ went out and he found, literally, if you go to the calling of the disciples, he went and found Peter, James, and John while they were working at their livelihood. They were out fishing at the time, and he called them not out of lives of leisure. He called them out of the work to come into a new work where they're now fishing for men. And they were busy in the work. In fact, they're probably busier than they'd ever been in their lives. No, up to this point, this was probably the busiest time of their lives, where they didn't even have time to stop to rest. They didn't have time to stop and eat. And I'm telling you, when you're in those periods of time when it's just like, man, it's already dinner time and lunch, I mean, we just blew right through lunch. I'm telling you, that just is a go, go, go kind of situation. And it does get to where we are physically fatigued and we want to relax and we want to take a break. Christ realizes that. I just want you to be aware that Christ knew exactly what was going on, and God was with them in every step that they were taking, and in everything they were doing. He was well aware, even though they were rehearsing it to him, he was well aware of what was going on. And it wasn't like, come on, that we read the story of Christ, and Christ was the one. I mean, he was lounging in the house, and people were feeding him grapes and fanning him while he sent the disciples out to go do all the hard work. Come on. There were many times that we read of our Savior that he would get done doing this work, and then he would go off in the evening. Instead of taking time to rest, he realized, I've been so busy, I haven't had time to spend with my Father. And instead of going home to rest, he went and found himself in a quiet place up on a mountain, a quiet place out in a garden, and he spent the evening in prayer. It was the disciples who found themselves all the time wanting to stop and rest because life was just too busy. And I want you to realize this. Christ was aware of how busy they were. He was fully aware of how busy they were. He was fully aware that it's important to come apart. I think it's, and I know I've said it, I believe it. Not as much as my wife believes I believe it, but I do believe it. If we don't come apart at sometimes, we will come apart. It's important to break away and to get alone. And what a wonderful blessing it is, it would be to just rest a while, a long needed break, and it was due for them, and they had been serving the Lord, and now they're going to spend some time with just them and him, and nobody else was going to be around, and it was just going to be a pleasant time together on a cruise. Amen. On a getaway weekend, a getaway weekend with the Savior, no people around, and if you've taken a cruise, you know what I'm talking about, amen, just getting away from everything, the cell phone doesn't work, amen, and even if someone has a problem, there's nothing you can do about it because you couldn't swim to the shore from where you're at, you're that far away, and I'm telling you, it's kind of just really, it's just a getaway. And here they were on just a relaxing cruise from the work and the people and getting a tan. Amen. Praise the Lord. They were in a desert. It's where you go to get a tan, from what I would think. Come on, they were just, let's kick back and let's relax. And I'm telling you, in their mind, what their thoughts were, we're busy enough. We have earned this. We deserve this, and we're going to enjoy ourselves on this weekend getaway to the desert with the Savior. If we look at where they were going, they would have been leaving the northern part of the Sea of Galilee, and it's not a big sea. If you go there and drive around it, you can see to the other side. No matter where you go around the Sea of Galilee, you can see the other side. And so as they had been ministering and as people saw them get into a boat and to start to sail to the other side, literally what took place is people followed them around from one side of the Sea of Galilee to the other. And by the time they got over there and the door of the boat, or they got out of the boat, however it worked, and in the desolate place that they were, and if you go on the other side of the southern part of the Sea of Galilee, the climate just becomes a little more arid, and it gets to where it starts to turn into toward the Dead Sea, into a very much drier place than would be on the northern side of the sea. And so they're getting into that Jordan River Valley, and it is a dry, desolate place. And for the most part, still today, it's uninhabitable. It's uninhabitable, and that's where they were. They're in this desert place, and they were apart, and now they're alone with the Savior. And they, the whole thought about this, right, is we're going to rest, and that means we're not going to work, right? We're going to get apart, and we're going to rest a while. We're not going out to work. We're going for leisure, and they could, they could just catch some fish, and they could eat it. They just be there alone, even. And just be by themselves. I know my wife, she enjoys being alone. Amen. I'll get home from school, from work and from the church and from running here and there. And I'm telling you, she can't wait to be alone. And you say, well, why is that? Because she has kids that don't let her be alone anytime. Amen. And they're getting a little better about it, but she still likes to be alone. And she still likes to be able to say, okay, you got the kids. I'm going to the store. I need to go get this or get that. She enjoys, and she looks to that time to be alone. And it's a need. It's a real need to just be sometimes in a place of peace and quiet. It's a need. And that's what they were looking forward to. The only problem is that someone forgot to tell the multitudes. Somebody forgot to inform all these people that had followed them around the sea to this desert place apart. And as they get to the other side, it's that same needy crowd that meets them there. And in verse number 34, we see the Savior's response, and he felt compassion on them. He literally felt sympathy and pity upon them as he saw their need, as they saw their condition. It says, as sheep not having a shepherd. And his response was not, listen, it's time for leisure. We've come over here so that we can be alone. We've come over here so that we might be able to just relax a little bit. And you obviously are so dense, you don't get it. That was not his response. No, he had compassion upon them. You say, well, he must not have been as tired as the disciples. No, no, no. I think the biblical record will show he was ever so much more busy than the disciples ever were. Yeah. In fact, John in his gospel, he would end it by saying, listen, if we were to write down all the things that Jesus did in his ministry, listen, the books could not contain. So I think Jesus understood what it was to be physically tired, but he did not look at them with the same eyes as the disciples. He looked at them having as sheep having no shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. He had sympathy on them. Jesus simply began to teach them many things, profitable things, helpful things, loving things, probably not the same things the disciples wanted to teach them right about then. Are you with me? Not the same things the disciples were. Oh no, these people need to be taught. But Jesus was teaching them as sheep that needed and feeding them as sheep. The disciples wanted to look at them and say, listen, we came over here to get away from you people. Can't a disciple get a little rest? And so they wait as Jesus teaches stuff concerning love and the kingdom of God and laying up treasure in heaven and being a servant and stuff that this crowd of lost sheep needed to hear. Amen? I mean, it's obviously these lost sheep, they need to hear all the things that Jesus has to say. I mean, we're the ones that are doing the work, and he sent us out to do the work, and we know all about loving. We know all about being being a servant. We know all about these things, and we know all about the kingdom of God. And we don't have need of Jesus teaching us anything. These people got pretty messed up because they're ruining our weekend away. And as the day grew toward the end, the disciples have developed a plan. The disciples had decided that they need to inform Jesus of the time and of the place that they are in. If you look at verse number 35, it says, and when the day was now far spent, I mean, these people had wasted their entire day, right? The day was far spent. His disciples came unto him and said, this is a desert place. Isn't it amazing how they think they get to inform God of where they're even at. I mean, the one who created it, they're going to inform him of where they're at. And now the time is far past. You obviously are neglecting to realize that it's not time to be teaching any longer. It's time to get our relaxation on, our leisure. It's time for those things. And the disciples are getting very bold. The disciples are getting very bold with Christ that, listen, we're done with this having compassion on this crowd of people. We're done doing that. Now it's time to get to more important things and not things that have to deal with them. It's time for us to think about ourselves. That's what time it is. And they need to go, and it's for their good. And for our good, that you realize that this is a desert place and the time's gone. And if we just continue to teach these people and minister unto these people, then our entire leisure time is going to be consumed by these people if we let them do it. Seems like Jesus was more than willing to let them consume him, and the disciples were not as willing to allow him to be consumed by them. The disciples are getting very bold with Jesus, and they told Jesus where they were. They were in a desert place. These poor people will faint. I mean, do you not understand, Christ, what's going to happen to these poor people? They're going to starve if they stay out here. There's no food for them. There's no ability for them to get food. And if we need to let them go. Lord, let me remind you why we came out here to begin with, and it wasn't to pander unto these people. They told them what time it was. Time was far past, and they can't take away any more of their. They can't take any more teaching today. There's no more that you need to be teaching them today, and the lessons are over, and the bell has rung, and school is out, and it's time to let them go. It's time to drop all this. And then they told Jesus really what to do. Like they had the answers. No. Like they were the ones that were now the teacher. Like, I mean, because, I mean, remember, I mean, they did go out and they had done some things. It says so in verse number 30. No, they told him both what they had done and what they had taught. I mean, here now they're the teacher. They're the one giving the instruction. And so now they get to instruct Jesus, the God of all creation. And so they had all the answers and they knew what was best both for them and for this crowd and for Savior. And they really knew and understood the needs of all the men there. No, the reality is they were tired. And they wanted to get away from it all, and they wanted to rest. And their plan was this: what we need to do, this is what would be best for everyone concerned. If we just send them away, if we just let this crowd go, if we just get rid of them, and we don't have to minister any longer, and we don't have to put up with that, and we've done all that we can do for them, and we have nothing to offer unto them anymore, we have nothing to feed them, and they can leave us alone and go find help somewhere else. And literally, I'm just telling you, literally, this is no exaggeration. Their view of the moment and their view of the circumstances and their view of what was needed was 180 degrees off of what God saw. I mean, it was completely opposite that God said, listen, these are sheep and they need to be fed and we need to minister unto them. And the disciples are like, no. We've wasted enough time. That's not why we came over here. And obviously you forgot that you said, we're to come over and have leisure. And I want you to understand is the first thing that the disciples miss is many times in the busyness of ministry, if we'll be resting in who Christ is and remembering that we're going on this journey with Christ and we're in the boat with Christ and everywhere we go, it's not of our own accord and of our own will and of our own decisions and of our own desires. But listen, we are following with Him. I'm telling you, there is a rest in Christ if we realize that He is in the boat with us. We're not here of ourselves. We're not going on this journey because it's what we desire to do. No, we're on this journey and we're going on this trip and we're going across this body of water and we're going over to this desert place because we're with Christ. And when we forget that what we're doing is not of our own, it's not about how great a teacher we are and how much we are done and what kind of ministers that we are, but we realize that, listen, this is all about Christ and we get in the boat with Christ. Listen, there should be leisure to be found there unless we think that we know better than Him. That Christ is along with me. I'm telling you, there's a big responsibility there. I'm telling you, I have got to keep the God of all creation in line. Bear that burden a while. Come on, I'm be serious. Come on, think about that for a minute. I mean, there could be leisure if we realize, man, we're with Christ. He's in control. He knows where we're going. We are going to have us a great time. Why? Because He's leading us and we're following Him as opposed to, all right, yeah, that's a great idea, Jesus. I'm for your thinking. I see where you're going with this and I can take the lead from here. Because that's where the disciples went right to, because they thought that there was now time. Listen, we can tell Jesus what to do. And He obviously has lost touch with reality of the circumstances, of the situation, of even where we are. He has no clue. And therefore, the leisure that they could have experienced just by being with Christ and allowing Him to take care of all the burdens, Christ didn't ask them to do anything. He hadn't. Christ didn't say, listen, we're going to get over here and you're going to have to teach and you're going to have to do miracles. No. Christ was doing all the work. They were just there. They were just bummed that Christ wasn't like giving all His attention to them. Christ was trying to help them understand the leisure is going to be found as we yield ourselves to the plan of God. And their plans and God's plans were completely opposite of the plan, because Jesus' plan was this. Listen, what we need to do is not send them away. What we need to do is give them to eat. No, what they don't need is to go off on their own. What they need to do is they need to eat. And the Lord... And their response was, no, they need to, the need is so great that we don't have the money to do anything about this. There's nothing we can do about it. And again, I just see the humanity of the disciples right there in verse number 37 and 38 and how they were just, they were just really men, right? And almost childlike boys, you know, like you say, okay, we need to do this. Well, we can't. Well, no, this is what we're going to do. No, we can't do it that way. Well, how do you know? Do you even know how much bread we have? The answer was no. No, no, look at the question in verse number 38. This is not what we need to do. This is God, this is what we need to do. And Jesus said, no, we just need to feed them. Let's give them what we have. And they said, no, we can't do that. And in verse number 38, come on, how many loaves have ye? Question. Can you just see the dumb 12 guys standing there looking at each other? And Judas, you got any? No. Peter, no bread. Yeah, well, they literally were telling Christ instructions and telling God what to do, and they didn't even have a clue what they did have. And Jesus has to look at them and says, why don't you, before you start making foolish, brash statements telling me what to do, why don't you actually go out and look and see what we have? Why don't you just go and look, and why don't you just go examine this and go and see, and says, and then it comes back, and then it says, and when they knew, they said, 5 loaves and 2 fishes. We told you it wasn't going to work. We told you we didn't have enough. No, come on. They had not a clue from beginning to the end. From beginning to the end of what God was trying to do, what God was trying to accomplish. And they knew what they had, and they knew what they were willing to do. And they just had a humble lunch, and there was nothing that could be done with it until those loaves were put into the hand of Jesus Christ, until they were put into the hand of God, until those fishes were put into His possession. And then He could change everything with them. They thought they had the plan all figured out. And not only did they not have it all figured out, Jesus was able to make it so that while the time He was done, each and every one of them not only had provided enough food for the entire multitude that was there, but they all had their own basket of food right there for themselves. He not only met all the need that they didn't have any clue to desire to meet, nor did they think that could be met. No, He met all of that need, and He also provided for them as well. Their plans and God's plans were completely different. Their plan, let's do nothing. Let's literally do nothing. And God's plan, listen, we're going to serve everyone. We're going to serve everyone. How are we going to do that? Well, you're just going to bring me what you have, and I'm going to do the rest. No. You're going to give me the things that you have, and then I'm going to meet the need. Now, I just want to submit to you tonight that God can meet the need if we'll allow Him to have what we have, but many times we get stuck where we tell God what to do instead of just doing what God says to do. That's where the disciples were. They were so busy telling God what needed to happen that they wouldn't listen to God about what really needed to happen. That's a dangerous place to get. When we think that, listen, God, you need to fix this. Here's the problem, and you need to fix it. Instead of looking at God and saying, God, how are you going to fix this problem? God, here's the need, and here's what you need to do about it. Here's the problem, and here's my plan, my 12-step plan on how it's going to get fixed. Instead of us realizing that He's got it all under control and allowing Him, listen, God, I know I don't have enough, but I know You can do all things. And if I'm willing to give You what I have, Lord, I know You can take it. It's going to be sufficient to meet their need. Listen, and 12 baskets full, our need. No. If we'll give God everything we have, the reality is there will not be a need that goes unmet. But when we're in the place of telling God what to do, and telling God how to fix the problem, and informing God of all the areas that He is failing in, listen, every time we're going to come up on the short end of seeing needs supplied. And I'm telling you, it's got to be a weary place to be ordering the God of all creation around. I'm telling you, it's got to be a burden. I mean, to think, that God, holds this entire universe in the palm of His hand, and I have the power and the strength and the authority to order Him around. No. You're going to find out what tired is all about. I can't even keep my house clean. We can't keep our laundry done. I mean, kids are dirtying it faster than we can clean it. Come on. My office looks like a tornado goes through it. And yet I get to instruct God on how to be God. And I get to look at circumstances and I get to determine, God needs some help here, and God needs me to move, and God needs me. No. God needs you to yield to Him. God needs you to rest in Him and trust in Him. And listen to me. The burden we bear are when we take too much upon us instead of allowing God to be God. We get worn out and we get tired instead of casting all our care upon Him, for He careth for us. Instead of allowing ourselves to be in His yoke that is easy and light, we determine, no, we're going to get in the yoke and we're going to pull and pull and pull and we're going to get our way and we're going to get it done. And we're going to wear ourselves out instead of just resting in Him. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed this evening.